Would any of the women Prabhupada disciples like to lead it off? Anybody prepared? Okay. Would you like to start? Yeah. Would you like to speak first, Mother Rambir?
Yeah, I guess so. Thank you. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gaudavani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paska Charishtarine. Vyasa Puja is an opportunity to glorify and honor and remember you, Srila Prabhupada. It is also an opportunity for us to reflect upon our attitude and service performance during our past year and to cast our vision forward towards how we intend to increase our loving service to you in the coming year. Many years ago, when you commissioned me in a dream to take care of your personal body, I understood you to mean your body of devotees in ISKCON movement. As I continue to develop my Vaishnava chaplaincy and bhakti care program in response to your call to care for the bodies and minds and spirits of your growing family of devotees, I think of you on 26 Second Avenue as you single-handedly planted the seeds that grew into a flourishing haven of shelter for millions of people. What gives me hope is the prayer that you uttered when you first landed in New York on the Jaladuta. Lord, I do not know why you brought me here. And indeed, I often pray this prayer. Why me? Why here? In terms of how did I find myself directing a chaplaincy training program in the poorest of the poor region of downtown Los Angeles? But I take heart and get hope from the last words you spoke before departing from this world. Everything moving, everything not moving is Krishna. Mm-hmm. And to know this is Krishna consciousness. So I pray today for the ability to always remember that wherever I am, there you are too, guiding, protecting, inspiring, supporting and empowering me as I continue my ministry as a chaplain, a teacher of chaplains, and as a mother and grandmother of a growing Vaishnava family. Please bless me this coming year with your guiding light and provide me with the strength and discernment as I make moment-to-moment choices on my way back to you. Thank you for being there. All glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you, Mother Rambo. Judy Krampabu, would you?
Dear Srila Prabhupada, Please accept my humble obeisances, all glories to your divine grace on this auspicious day of your appearance. You have so many attractive features. One of the features that makes you attractive is your heaviness. You said Guru is heavy, and your words are certainly grave and full of serious meaning. But your words can also be very lighthearted, very amusing. Your conversations and talks were full of entertaining stories, funny jokes, and witty observations that made people laugh. Laugh in such a way that they became more attracted to you and your Lord Krishna and willing to serve. Once you got a telephone installed in your room, and in a lecture here in LA, you said, in India, it's very difficult to get a telephone. You have to wait in the waiting list for at least 1 or 2 years, or you have to bribe the authorities. But here, as soon as I deposited $40, the next day the telephone was in my room. So I was very glad. But after getting my telephone, I was disturbed always. Some of my students were phoning me, ring, ring, Swamiji, how are you feeling? At 12 o'clock at night. Not only one, many. I became so much disturbed that I asked them, get out that telephone. Another time in Los Angeles, you said, during Maharaj Yudhisthira's time, or before that, the city was so full of elephants that it was named after elephants, Hastinapur. That means many elephants. Still in India, in big procession, marriage ceremony, they bring some elephants. But that is in procession. Elephants, horses are demonstrated, and especially in the royal family. But these things have now gone. Now, instead of Hastinapur, it is now Motorcarpur. Another time, here in Los Angeles, someone asked you a question saying, this might be a stupid question, but and you replied, well, we are all stupid, so therefore the questions must be stupid. Another time in Los Angeles, a little devotee boy asked, Swamiji, you said that if you eat too much, you will pay. But how about the devotee? How about when they eat too much prasad? Prabhupada, you want to eat more? So you eat more. It is medical advice that there are two kinds of mistakes in eating. Overeating and undereating. So undereating mistake for old man, it is very good. An overeating mistake for boys, that is good. So you can overeat. I cannot. The devotee boy said, but how about Tamal Krishna and Vishnu John? Prabhupada, they cannot. You can. You can eat as much as you like. Free pass. In London, a girl asked you, does Krishna speak the Bhagavad Gita in the hellish planets? Prabhupada, hellish planet? This is hellish planet. Especially this London. Always dark, raining. What do you want more hellish? In Australia, a guest asked you, Srila Prabhupada, how can we understand why the Krishna consciousness movement seems to attract so many young boys and young girls and not so much middle-aged and older people in the Western world? Prabhupada, not only Western world, everywhere. Therefore, they are called old fools. Once in France, you spoke about the space program of the modern scientists. You said, they're so rascal. They're trying to go to other planets. But they've got this planet already and they've just made a mess of it. In Hawaii, you were recalling your early days in New York City. In New York, and this is Srila Prabhupada speaking, in New York, where we started this movement, so in the morning at 7 o'clock, we used to hold our class, and there was little sound, noise. Immediately, the tenants from upwards, they come down and complain. Sometimes they will call the police. And on the street, 2nd Avenue, there's always big, big trucks and motor cars going, heavy noise. In your country, you have this garbage carrier sound. So you know that sound. And street breaking sound. So many sounds they'll tolerate. And as soon as they hear Hare Krishna, oh, it's intolerable. On March 2nd, 1975, I was present in the Atlanta temple when you were there, and I heard you give a lecture on the appearance day of your spiritual masters, Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. At that time, you said, when I first came, I had no money, so I got free passage through some Indian steam navigation company, so I came by ship. So when I was on the ship at Boston Port, Commonwealth Port, I was thinking, I have come here, I do not know what is the purpose, because how will the people accept this movement? They are differently educated, and as soon as I will say, so, my dear sir, you have to give up meat eating and illicit sex and no intoxication and no gambling, they will say, please go home. The devotees there laughed at your transcendental sense of humor. All the devotees, including me, laughed, marveling at Prabhupada's transcendental sense of humor. I am hoping that someday I may once again find myself in your presence and laugh at hearing you make some humorous remark. But the price of admittance into your presence is serving your mission. In Atlanta, you went on to say, so you are hearing this philosophy daily. Try to understand more and more. We have got so many books, and this is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and by disciplic succession, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then my spiritual master, then we are trying our level best. Similarly, you will also try your level best on the same principle. Then it will go on. So please allow me to keep trying my level best to help you in carrying out the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the disciplic succession so that I can always remain in your presence. Your servant, Judhakarma Das.
Thank you, Judhakarma. I would like to call another Omkar Dasi.
My dear Srila Prabhupada, I bow down before your lotus feet and offer you my prayers, my obeisances, my spiritual love, and my eternal gratefulness. Thank you for taking me under your divine shelter and giving me the highest gift of this holy name and devotional service. At age 11, when my eyes first saw saffron-robed devotees, I knew then my path in life and my heart's desire. Then, at age 17, this was my prime opportunity to take those steps towards you, your divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Most of my life, you have been teaching me. And now these days, presently, you are still teaching me how to surrender, how to fold my hands before the Lord and to seek spiritual shelter, freedom from this material existence. My dear Srila Prabhupada, you are my life and my goal to serve and to pray. I am always finding peace and happiness at your lotus feet. Following your instructions, chanting my rounds, and praying to Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish is my determination. As I look around, I have such vivid memories of you coming down from your quarters here in New Dwarka, giving out cookies during Guru Puja to the mothers and the children. Your long, beautiful big garlands, your glistening, beaming smile, radiant love of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And even those dark-rimmed glasses that you wore during Srimad Bhagavatam class. My dear Srila Prabhupada, I remember fondly greeting you at the airport in the early 70s as there would be a nice kirtan with car towels and conches blowing, celebrating your arrival. I was holding a straw basket with rose petals and spreading them at your lotus feet as you would walk towards us. Then you would sit down and speak to a reporter. Right at the airport, how fortunate we were to greet you so nicely and have your blessed association like this. My dear Srila Prabhupada, your mercy has uplifted and purified so many of us fallen souls. Your mercy is still uplifting us and enlivening us each and every day, because you are ever present. You have endured multiple sacrifices to preach this mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we, your servants, need to endeavor to further and spread this love of Godhead. Thank you, my beloved Gurudev. Thank you for accepting me as your disciple, my dear Srila Prabhupada, your servant, Omkar Devi Dasi.
Thank you, Mata. We'd like to call on Tathavit Prabhu now. Too.
To read an offering, but I'll just say as I'm getting ready that in Los Angeles I first saw Srila Prabhupada, so I'm very happy to be here. I'm going to read an offering that I wrote for the book called Tributes. Tributes is another Vyas Puja book. There's the BBT publication, the Vyas Puja book, in which the temples, the GBCs, the sannyasis make offerings. And the Tributes Vyas Puja book, which has been going been published for 3 years, this is the third year, contains offerings of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, which is how the first Vyasa Puja books were. The first Vyasa Puja books contained offerings written by all the disciples. That's why this tributes book was published. It was a revival of the kind of Vyasa Puja book that was offered to Prabhupada in the early days of ISKCON. So this year there were 250 offerings published in tributes, which is double the number that was published the first year. More and more devotees are writing for this. One of the devotees named Taraka wrote that he happened to turn on the television one day and see a Christian evangelist preaching. And he was talking about pure devotional service to his big audience. It was on television. And Taraka thought, what's he talking about? Pure devotional service. The preacher continued exhorting the audience of Christians that they shouldn't be fruitive, they shouldn't be materialistic, they should endeavor for this highest thing, pure devotional service. And as Taraka watched the program, the camera eventually focused closely in on the speaker, and he could see the book that the speaker was using. He was looking at the book occasionally to make some points. And it was one of Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatams. So, this year I wrote my offering in London. So I started out by describing something in London. Dear Srila Prabhupada, most humble pranams. Some London buildings have round blue signs informing the passers-by that a famous or outstanding person lived there and accomplished something. The sign describes the person's name and when he lived and something important that he accomplished, so that people, tourists in London, can find some of the historically important places. This reminded me of something you said about preaching at a jail in India. You said you were invited to preach in front of a cell that held Gandhi prisoner. And now the cell is venerated. Similarly, on the east coast of America, one might see a sign that says, George Washington slept here. The idea is, as it's stated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, whatever the greatest person does, that very thing other persons will do. Whatever standard the greatest person enacts, that the world will follow. Krishna's words encourage and persuade Arjuna to act. Similarly, you inspire people to follow your example. You take the lead, set standards. You establish precedents, change paradigms, and act as an ideal model. Thus, to your credit, your followers also teach and preach. translate, write, edit, distribute books, and perform many types of devotional service on progressively higher levels. There is no one whose acts are more dearly loved by Krishna than one who reveals Krishna's supreme secret to the bhaktas. The supreme secret, Param Guyam, Bhagavad Gita, 1868. The greatest secret of all, Sarva Guyam, Tamam, is told by Arjuna. Is told to Arjuna. The greatest secret of all is told to Arjuna. In these words, Ishto Sime Dvidham. You are so much loved by me, Krishna says. You are so much loved by me. This can apply to every heart and soul, not just Arjuna. Your disciple Garuda Das, Graham Schweig, whose ideas I'm using here, writes in his Bhagavad Gita for Harper, at the highest level, yoga is a secret state of union within supreme love bestowed by divinity, who is also subsumed in this union. In other words, yoga, like the yoke that links two oxen together, links the individual soul and the supreme soul. Yoga Maya links Krishna and the supreme soul. Indeed, yoga is the power of love that transforms the heart and to which even divinity submits. So the person who reveals this to the bhaktas, he's very much loved by Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, by discharging the most sublime service to your spiritual master and Sri Krishna, following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you enable us to act in parampara. And gratefully I remain your servant, Tattvavittas.
Thank you, Boone. I would like to call another Vrindavaneshwari Devi Dasi to offer her concert.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Mastai Patale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tsunamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharni Nivrishesa Sinyavati Paskachari Satarni Om Maginat Mranyasya Shinagina Salakaya Chaksur Umritam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurvena Maha. My dear Srila Prabhupada, your blessings upon me are too many to tell. You have truly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, saving me from innumerable lifetimes of suffering and bewilderment. Your mercy to come and deliver the most fallen touched me as a new bhakta, and I felt truly qualified in my fallen state to receive your eternal gift of love and spiritual awakening. I beg that I may always serve you and please you. Thank you for bringing song into my life. It helps remember the spiritual world, our eternal home, where all walk is dance and all speech is song. I offer the song to you, your servant, Vrindavani Sri. There once came a saint named Prabhupada, who came to spread his word far and wide. He traveled from a distant land and delivered a message that was so grand. He said to look deep within and find where it all began. His message was, we are not this flesh, but spirit far beyond our highest quest. The soul cannot be touched by earth, nor burnt by fire, or moistened by water. With this knowledge we've been given, now our life is worth living. Prabhupada has given his gift of eternal love and friendship. He's guiding with such a loving hand, taking us home to a blissful land. I'm eternally indebted to his divine grace for opening my eyes to the Lord's lotus face. Eternal love is a youthful lad who plays a flute and tends his cows. He lives in holy Vrindavan, and his name is Shyama Sundar. He has curly black hair with jewels he's adorned. Who can resist his three bending form? He enchants every soul in all the three worlds, and his name is Shyama Sundar. O Prabhupada, Guru Dev, my heart and soul you surely saved. I offer this song to you, as you're smiling so sweetly with the boy of blue. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. O Prabhupada, O Gurudev, my heart and soul you've surely saved. I offer this song to you, as you're smiling so sweetly with the boy of blue.
Thank you, Mata. That was very nice. We'd like to call on Satchidulal Prabhu. He's going to...
So I just have one small little pastime that I had some direct contact with Srila Prabhupada. First of all, to tell you, I became a devotee in Laguna Beach. I joined in Laguna Beach. And my initiation letter was sent to India. And I asked Srila Prabhupada to please accept me as a disciple. And I expressed to him that I wanted to somehow or other be able to assist Srimati Radharani in serving Krishna. I said, in some way, if I could just be of some assistance. So Srila Prabhupada sent the letter back from India to Laguna Beach, and he gave me the name Satchidulala. I didn't know what that name meant for quite some time until I came to Los Angeles, and I inquired from Prabhudna, who was Prabhupada's serving Srila Prabhupada as a Sanskrit also, and he said, oh, that name is, it means the darling of. Dulala means darling of, and Sachi is the mother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so it means the darling of Sachi, just like Nanda Dulala, Yasoda Dulala, like that. So I was very happy to hear that. So Srila Prabhupada actually, gave me that name because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming in the mood of Srimati Radharani, like that. So I was happy. Then I was assisting with the, I heard a little bit about what Maharaj was saying, how the books were coming. I was actually sent here to assist Rameshwar with getting the books. And the books were coming from, I believe it was either Boston or New York, and they were coming in little booklets of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I actually was able to witness how things were progressing. The books were getting nicer and nicer, and Srila Prabhupada was getting, he was very much emphasizing that we have to distribute these books, and he was getting enlivened by how the books were being printed nicely, and they got nicer and nicer like that. So I was able to participate in that, witness that. So that was great mercy to me. Well, there's a picture of me. Prabhupada came and got Charanamrita, and I was holding, pouring on over his hand to clean his hand. But one time, when the temple room was where the Fate Museum is now, Prabhupada would come back from his morning walk at 7 o'clock, and then he'd come through the door, and the Govinda prayers would start when Prabhupada came from that door to progress towards the deities. And we were lined against the wall here, and I was standing there in front of Prabhupada just like, oh. And Prabhupada approached me, and I wasn't getting out of the way. I didn't realize I was blocking him. And Prabhupada said to me, step aside. Just like that. So that's my pastime with Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much.
Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nirishesha Sunyavadi Pasyatya Desatarani Jai. As we know, the most important association with Srila Prabhupada is through his books and by following his instructions. And having said that, I want to take a moment on this special day of his appearance to talk about his physical appearance when he was with us. And start with his lotus feet. As we can see on the Vyasa-san, the impression of his feet, they're so perfect. Each toe is like a bud from a lotus. I don't know about you, but if I've walked around Vrindavan for a week, mine are cracked and I can hardly get the dirt. The Prabhupada's were smooth, soft, pink. Prabhupada didn't walk. He walked, but it didn't look like he was walking. It looked like he was floating. And the first time I stood next to Srila Prabhupada, I was in shock, because having seen him on the Vyasa-san, reading his books, I expected him to be very tall, very big. He was only my height. It was astounding, because he has such a regal effulgence. His presence was so astounding. One time when we went to the airport to greet him, we stayed in the waiting area chanting. And I watched many of the passengers come off the plane and stop and look. And they looked at us, and we were a pretty mismatched looking group of people at the time. Yes. You know, some of our shoes didn't match if we had them on. We were ecstatic, but I watched these businessmen turn and look at Srila Prabhupada, and their faces changed. You could see immediately they felt in awe and respect of Srila Prabhupada. When Prabhupada spoke, he used his hands in such a perfect manner. It would emphasize any point he wanted to make. And the tips, his fingernails were like polished moons. They had an effulgence. And Prabhupada's ears had little tufts of hair growing in them. Later reading in the Krishna book, this is a sign of intelligence, greatest intelligence Srila Prabhupada had, to be able to capture all our wayward hearts. And his eyes. When Prabhupada spoke, sometimes his eyes would get very deep and very serious. And other times, they would get very big. And that smile, just from glancing around the room, if Prabhupada gave a glance or smile, that whole side of the room started jumping in ecstasy. And then back to the other side of the room, waves of ecstasy being sent. And sometimes Prabhupada would like to focus on a little child, and you'd watch that child just jump up and down in ecstasy. So thank you for the opportunity to share.
Thank you, Mata. We'd like to call Madhavisa Prabhu to speak. Just want to make one comment. We're all supposed to finish at 11:45, so we really don't have enough time to hope we're going to try to get to everybody, but if we can't, I'm apologizing in advance. That's the schedule we were given. At 11:45, we're going to start Prabhupada's Pushpanjali and then followed by Zartik. So if all the speakers could bear that in mind, and that will hopefully we'll be able to get to everybody. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
We are born into the darkness of ignorance, and today we are sitting here again with our eyes closed shut. But we're very fortunate because we have a spiritual master like Srila Prabhupada who has come to us in our darkness and forced us to open our eyes with the blazing torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. I'll try to read a few passages from my godbrother Ramai's offering. Just like Parikit from days gone by, Prabhupada is here to turn the tide. His voice is drum-like, loud and low. His face suffuses with a rosy glow. He shines with many a lucky sign and many an ornament, so often divine. Although not towering in his height, he is a tiger in gait and might. So, for the last 45 years, I've been trying every year to glorify Prabhupada's gait and might, and I've failed every year. But it is our duty as Srila Prabhupada's disciple to glorify him to the best of our abilities. Prabhupada told us once a story about a little old lady in the village. And when the king came to visit the village, the king of the whole empire came to visit the village, and the little old lady came forward and said, "I bless you that someday you may become the mayor of this village." And Srila Prabhupada went on to explain that because the lady had limited experience of the world, the mayor of the village was the highest accolade she could bestow upon the king. So similarly, we are all like that little feeble old lady with her blessing upon the king. We open up our mouths and we try to glorify Srila Prabhupada on this very special day, the Vyasa Puja day. Prabhupada was always instructing us, and if he had not come, who would have told the message of Krishna, forceful and bold? This is Srila Prabhupada's words himself, which are much more articulate than whatever I could say about glorifying Prabhupada being the epitome of the little old lady. But Srila Prabhupada was always giving us the instructions, and this was his uniqueness, that he would forgo any inconvenience he had to give us instruction. As we are all getting a little bit older, we are experiencing, or at least I am, experiencing mortality. It's becoming more and more apparent that I am not the Lord of all I survey, and I can't even control this physical body. So old age, without a doubt, is an inconvenience. But Srila Prabhupada, he withstood all the inconveniences in order to preach Krishna consciousness. We have little nicks and scratches Srila Prabhupada experienced a massive heart attack on the way over on the boat, the Jaladut. Even experiencing, even with foregoing the 35 days rocking and rolling on the ocean, coming here to America to fulfill his spiritual master's order. Even having a massive heart attack, he could have just said at that point, well, I guess I am too old, as Srimati Murariji had told him. Swamiji, you are too old. No. You cannot go to America. No, no, Prabhupada insisted. My spiritual master has requested that I go. So I will go. Oh, Swamiji, no, no, you stay here in Vrindavan, write your books. You are a sadhu. I don't want to take the responsibility of sending you to America and then having you die on the boat. No, no, Prabhupada insisted. I will go. I have got my green card. I've got my passport. I've got my permission, Bank of India permission to leave. I've got my sponsor. I've got my order of my spiritual master, the most important thing. So I will go. So Srimati Murariji said, okay, Swamiji, we'll send you there. But even after having the massive heart attack on the boat, he did not return. He said, I was looking this way and that way. I did not know where to go. But as Prabhupada wrote in his poem, that he was dancing according to the wishes of Krishna. He used the imagery of a puppeteer being manipulating the puppet. So Srila Prabhupada was like that in his relationship with Krishna. I have come to dance, now make me dance. Bhaktisiddhanta had given him the order to go and preach, and now he was here in America. He's studying the American psyche. So we thank you, Srila Prabhupada, on this special day for endeavoring, for teaching us the message of Krishna, forceful and bold. You are the greatest soldier, greatest spiritual soldier. You've taken the order of your spiritual master to heart. You were not assisted by the inconvenience of ill health, old age, and all the impediments that go along with that. You persevered. You kept going. You kept preaching. Taking every opportunity. I personally was there in your room on many occasions when you received invitations from abroad to attend preaching engagements, rathiyatras, and so many other functions. And you never turned them down. You were always endeavoring to fulfill the orders of your spiritual master. And once you said that everyone who is my disciple has been sent to me directly by my spiritual master. So thank you once again, Srila Prabhupada, for accepting us, the most feeble old ladies, in glorifying you on this day. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Madhavi Spoon. We'd like to call Mother Jagajanani to speak. I'd just like to mention while she's coming up that she's the last female Prabhupada disciple that we have. And we have about three or four male Prabhupada disciples. So after she speaks, there'll be a run of about three or four male Prabhupada disciples. I just wanted to explain why we're doing that. So, thank you. And one additional thing. This will continue tonight at 7:30 up in Prabhupada's room. So if anybody doesn't get a chance to speak that would like to, you can join us again this evening approximately 7:30 up in Prabhupada's rooms, and we'll continue for a while.
Hare Krishna.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances at your divine loving lotus feet. All glories to the inconceivable service you are rendering in such a miraculous way. As the years go by, it becomes more clear how you really have built a house the whole world can live in. I simply pray that I can and will give the years that I have, welcoming in and assisting all who come. Srila Prabhupada, you are like a soothing pool of kindness and mercy, and I am eternally grateful to be in your service. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Your daughter, trying to be your humble servant, Jagajanani Dasi.
Right. Thank you, Mata. I'd like to call Anita Mahaprabhu to speak.
Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjanan Salakaya Chakshu Militam Jina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I'm greatly humbled to be able to sit in front of all of my God brothers and God sisters and assembled devotees on Prabhupada's Vyas Puja Day. It's my first time ever being in L.A. on this day. I did get to see Prabhupada here in 76 on his last visit. I was fortunate for that. So every day I listen to Prabhupada's words. Every day I play his tapes whenever I'm in my car at home, his singing. And after all these decades, more and more the desire builds up in us to fulfill his desire. Prabhupada was speaking at the disappearance of his spiritual master on that day. I think it was up in Oregon. And he was saying that I am following his will and I am asking all of you to follow my will. So this is our duty as disciples. So this is our service, to stay faithful to our spiritual master. Chaku jana diloye janme janme prabhuse dibhigyan ride prakashito. He is my Lord, birth after birth. From him, ecstatic prema emanates. So life after life is our desire and our requirement to serve the spiritual master, to serve Srila Prabhupada. I can think of one quick story. We don't have much time. I went with Prabhupada the first time in India in 75. We all went as devotees from New York. And Prabhupada was speaking in Hyderabad, gave two-night lecture. So after the lecture, we're all sitting on the stage with Prabhupada, and he asked for questions. And one man came up and asked, Swamiji, if the whole world takes to Krishna consciousness, believes in Krishna like you do, how will the world go on? Prabhupada, you know, we are all thinking, what will Prabhupada say? Prabhupada said, you will not take, so the world will go on. So this was Prabhupada's wit. We always appreciated his sharpness. So I'm just happy to be here with all of you. This is Prabhupada's Western headquarters. Prabhupada spent so much time here. His quarters are just there. I live in Washington, D.C. area now, and Prabhupada only came once. And I lived in New York, and Prabhupada used to come there every year, but he spent much time here in L.A. So you're all fortunate to be in this beautiful temple that has been created by Prabhupada and his disciples, and continuing in their Krishna consciousness. So I pray on this day to remain at his lotus feet and to remain at the feet of all of his disciples. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Nitya Mahaprabhu. I would like to call Mahatma Das, and I'd like to mention that Rabindranath Dwar Hekpajar was kind enough to give us an additional 5 minutes. So we have 3 scheduled speakers left and about 15 minutes, so we're looking good.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Shaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharya Satarine. So when I come to Los Angeles, because I previously spent so much time here, I cannot not think of Prabhupada because his pastimes are everywhere around here. His pastimes are in front of this temple, walking in when he would give everyone a flower, when he would come back from his morning walk, and we would give him a flower. His pastimes are coming down the stair in the alley here, getting in his car. If you happen to be walking down the alley, this is where Prabhupada left for his morning walks. When Prabhupada was here, this temple was full when he would give Bhagavatam class. You can see pictures. Barely any room to sit. In the old temple, I remember coming and I couldn't even get in the temple. I came late. And there was such enthusiasm in Prabhupada's presence that when he would chant Jai Radha Madhava, everyone would stand up and dance. They couldn't sit down. So whoever is living here, or even if you're here now, we're all so fortunate to be here because Srila Prabhupada's Shakti is saturated everywhere. Even if you drive down Venice Boulevard, Prabhupada drove down there every morning, practically every morning, to go to the beach. So there's Shakti there. All over Santa Monica Beach and Venice Beach, Prabhupada walked. Cheviot Hills Park, a few miles away, Prabhupada walked. So I was just in Laguna Beach and I was thinking, it's very nice Prabhupada has come to Laguna Beach, but he came in another building. They bought another building. So even that building is not the building he was in. But here, this is the building. This is where Prabhupada stayed. So we're all so fortunate to be here. And there's so many things that can be said. I find it difficult to only say a few because then I have to pick. And that's torturous for me. But one of the things that I became aware of recently in reading many of Srila Prabhupada's letters is how much he thanked his devotees for doing service. He was constantly thanking, whatever service was done, thank you for doing this. Of course, as disciples, we feel somewhat embarrassed that our spiritual master is thanking us. But Prabhupada would always thank his disciples for whatever service they rendered because he understood the difficulties and sacrifices they were going through. He wasn't oblivious to it. When devotees were in Mayapur setting up the temple there, very, very difficult. And he told them, he said, I know what you're undergoing. I understand this is extremely difficult for you. And I thank you so much for doing this. So he was always appreciative. He never took his position for granted. Well, I'm the spiritual master, so whatever I say, you should do, and it's your duty to do it, and if you don't do it, tough luck for you. It wasn't like that. It was whatever we could do. It was thank you so much. I appreciate this so much. So I think it's nice to meditate on this because Bhagavatam says, if you're dear to a devotee of Krishna, then you become dear to Krishna. It's quite simple, actually, when you think about it. And if we can do something to please Prabhupada, then we become close to Krishna. Prabhupada once came here, it must have been 1975 or 1976, and he was so pleased when he saw Rukmini Dwarkadish. And he wanted to know who was taking care of Rukmini Dwarkadish. Prabhupada could see the deities, and he could understand just by seeing the deities if they were being taken care of properly. So he was so happy. So he told the pujari, he said, "I'm so pleased with you. You continue doing this service, taking care of the deities like this, and in this life you'll go back home, back to Godhead." So Prabhupada was so pleased by that devotee's service that he offered that benediction. And many times he offered that benediction. "Distribute my books. At the end of this life, you'll go back home, back to Godhead." Once they were in Japan, and Prabhupada wanted to start a temple, and he didn't tell, "You start a temple." He said, "Who would like to start a temple?" He asked, and he said, "Whoever does it, I will guarantee, I will personally," I don't know exactly how he said it, "but I will personally make sure that you go back to home, back to Godhead in this lifetime." So we have very little qualification, but if we please Srila Prabhupada, then our life is perfect. And one little secret that I discovered, it's an interesting secret. I don't know if it's a secret. Maybe you are aware of it. But I became curious to how Prabhupada was thinking before he came to America. What was on his mind? What was his thoughts? Of course, we know Shastra says you cannot understand the mind of the spiritual master, but I thought perhaps he's revealed his mind. So I went back through his letters before he had come to America, in his correspondence with his contemporaries. And I found a sentence that revealed his mission, at least to me. He said, "My desire is to see that every living entity in this world become Krishna conscious." So that is the definition of guru. He wants to see everyone Krishna conscious. That's what he gives his life for. And that's why when we were hearing the story of Prabhupada taking so many, doing things which were so-called inconvenient, they were not inconvenient in his mind because he was focused on giving everyone Krishna consciousness. So anything we can do to help bring someone a little closer to Krishna, directly or indirectly, that's fulfilling Prabhupada's mission. That's it. And then Prabhupada's pleased. And then Prabhupada says, "Thank you. Hare Krishna." Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Namaste, Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pacharini, Nirvasesha Sunyavadi Paskachari Stami. So, everyone's here to celebrate Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja Day. It comes around once a year. We all come together as disciples, grand disciples, and we glorify him. We always run out of time, of course. If everybody spoke as much as they knew about Prabhupada, we could last an eternity, just like an anta. But we'll try and keep it brief. One of the things I'd like to mention is how Srila Prabhupada was a great revolutionary. In the 20th century, many people tried to change the course of our society to make it a better place in some way. Prabhupada was a great revolutionary, I was saying. And one of the symptoms or one of the qualities of a person who's a revolutionary is he has to be fearless. And there are many obstacles. People don't normally like change. Revolution means to change, like a wheel. You move things along. And people find a certain level where they kind of feel comfortable. In the Western countries, everybody had sort of reached quite a good level of economic development. People are concerned about what their career, how much they have in the bank, what everybody thinks of them. And these are the things that preoccupy our thoughts. When Prabhupada came along, he was going to change all that. Those things were not important. Those things were not very significant. And in order to do that, there were many obstacles. From our own point of view, we would study, say, Bhagavad Gita. We'd get some introductory understanding of Krishna consciousness. and then to make some progress. Initially, of course, Prabhupada made it seem quite simple, quite easy, quite straightforward. But we know from our own bodies and our own minds, they themselves create obstacles. So Prabhupada was kind enough to be able to help us overcome all our obstacles. And also, on a bigger scale, to overcome obstacles put forward by people who were trying to block or limit the spread of Krishna consciousness. So within his disciples, this is what I was able to gather before meeting Srila Prabhupada, they seem empowered. Prabhupada kind of like lit a touch paper, and he lit all these candles, all these lights, who became his disciples. And in each one of those, they had this authority, they had this strength, they had this power to push on, and to make the Western countries at least, initially the English-speaking world Prabhupada was sent to, but of course it was not restricted to that. So Prabhupada was a great revolutionary, and he couldn't be held back. Nobody could contain him. There are so many stories where we would think, how can that be done? How are we going to do that? Every year Prabhupada said, we'll double the book distribution. I remember when I first went on book distribution, we used to sell Back to Godhead magazines. We didn't really have much idea. You know, all we had really was sincerity. And people were not coming up to you. So we had to develop ways and means of overcoming that difficulty. So from sending 5 or 6 Back to Godheads in a day, suddenly you could sell 1 or even 200. So where did that come from? Where did that drive? Where did that energy? Where did that kind of determination come from? The source of that was Prabhupada. He's, if you like, the fire of our Krishna consciousness movement. And even now, so many years later, Prabhupada is still the fire underneath this Krishna consciousness movement. So our duty is to somehow or another hear from him, try and spread that message to other people, and engage people, and show them the joy and the bliss and the happiness of Krishna consciousness. I suppose Prabhupada's mission was to take everyone home back to Godhead. Sometimes that seems very grand. Can you imagine people 500 years ago at the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Mahaprabhu said this Mahamantra would be reverberated in every town and village within the world? People would have thought, that's not possible. How is that possible? We're just a small few communities. So that's the greatness of Prabhupada. As a revolutionary, he overcame all the obstacles. He pushed very hard, and he didn't care about his own personal safety. Krishna took care of that. He was protected. Most people who changed the world tried to use force. They come with tanks, they come with guns, they put bombs in trains, or whatever they do. They're trying to change a situation which is not the best situation. Prabhupada did it with love. That's all. He just used love. He had quite a deal of charm as well. Even non-devotees were charmed by Prabhupada because he was wise, he was kind, and he was genuine and sincere. So on this day, hopefully we can reflect a little on those qualities. And perhaps in the next 12 months, we can all try and commit ourselves a little bit, no matter what we're doing now, at least commit ourselves to try and do something to increase the good name of the Krishna consciousness movement and to help spread things a little further. Okay, Hare Krishna.
Chai Prabhu, we'd like to just thank all our speakers again and apologize if anybody felt rushed. Tight schedule. We're going to go on now with Prabhupada's Pushpanjali, which will be followed by simultaneous aarti to Srila Prabhupada and the deities, and then, of course, the Prasadam feast. And we'll continue this evening at 7:30, approximately 7:30, up in Prabhupada's room. So, at which time there'll be an opportunity for anybody who wants to speak.